Hello and welcome to this episode of Off the Record with Lehigh Valley with Love. I'm George Wacker, joined as always by my co-host Jeff Warren, Northampton County Commissioner and host of the Philly Sports Table. Jeff, how are we doing?
Hey, good, buddy. It's great to see you. Great to have our guest this week. And we're going to have a fantastic conversation about something that so many people love here in our Lehigh Valley community and Northampton County communities. I can't wait for this conversation.
Yeah, farmers markets are a huge deal. Really quickly, before we get started, thank you to our sponsors who allow us to talk about this. Michael Bernadin with RE/MAX Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub in Bethlehem, Wind Creek Event Center, our friends at WDIY 88.1 FM, and of course, Banco Beverage Company. Today, we're talking about local farmers markets, how they connect communities, support local farms and businesses, help create those public gathering spaces that people really value. And we're joined by Lisa Borick with the Nazareth Economic Development Commission and Nazareth Farmers Market, and Emily Rowland, the Farmers Market Manager with the Greater Easton Development Partnership. Lisa and Emily, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
We're so excited. Yeah.
I got through the most difficult part of this entire podcast, so we're going to get into it. Lisa, before we get into all the great stuff going on with the Easton and Nazareth farmers markets, I was kind of hoping you could give me a little bit of insight on the history of farmers markets in general in the United States, and let's talk about them. Because I know both, like the Easton one goes back a million years, Nazareth is old as well, so kind of bring people up to speed a little.
So, sure. Farmers markets have been around almost as long as there's been people, and they've needed to trade things or purchase things. So the first farmers market in the United States was probably around 1634 in Boston, shortly after the Pilgrims landed. Although the indigenous Americans traveled to trade, they had trading events since long before we were here. 1693-ish, Philadelphia had a market on High Street, which is now renamed as Market Street. And they began the tradition of ringing the bell to start the market. I think Easton rings the bell to start their market every week, which is a super fun tradition that goes way back. A lot of markets then came around. Lancaster and King George declared Lancaster a market town because they had the market twice a week. Then Easton is the longest operating open air market. What, 1752?
52. Nailed it.
I did some research. Veteran also had an air market started in like 1750. 40 with the Moravians settling Nazareth, had some starts and restarts. But the fun story about the farmers market is in the late 1800s, farmers markets started moving indoors because of health concerns. And then in 1893, the Reading Terminal Market opened. And this is legend among farmers market vendors and farmers markets. In 1890, the railroad purchased the property that the farmers market and the Franklin market were on, and they were evicting everyone and saying, we're moving out, we're building the terminal. And the vendors absolutely said, we are not moving. In classic Philly style, they're like, build over us, build around us, do whatever to do, but we are staying here. And that's why we have the Reading Terminal Market, because those vendors did not want to move. No. And I know Emily will agree with me that even today, vendors do not want to move their tent 5 feet over.
They are no way. Space,
and they do not want to move. So no, I'm glad that history follows us. And the people won't find them. Find them. So that is the history in a nutshell.
So basically, just farmers markets have just existed pretty much forever. Anywhere that there are human beings. And just, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. We want to, you know, spend the week working, right? Or whenever, and then come together to share all that stuff. It makes a lot of sense. But Jeff, we're going to learn more about Easton.
Absolutely. Look, and Emily, Easton is one of the oldest known farmers markets in the entire United States, as we've mentioned already here. And you know, back when I was on Easton City Council many, 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 many moons ago, there was that concerted effort to really make sure that the Easton Farmers Market was a staple, not just for the Easton community, but even beyond that community, knowing the importance of how important farmers markets are. We just heard the history of farmers markets. So I was wondering, can you actually talk about the traditions of the farmers market in Easton and just how it really has grown over the years?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for your time on City Council. So I'm sure you got to see the market at probably an interesting stage of, you know, of its life. But yeah, the market, like, as we know, it goes back to 1752, as Lisa nailed it. So it has a really strong history, and it started in the center of the town, go figure. That's where people congregate. That's where, I mean, Easton itself is located in a really nice location for trade. You have access to two rivers. You shoot down those rivers. If you ride the Delaware, you're in Philly. So, you know, it was kind of a natural gathering place, not just for people, but, you know, for goods and just a really, you know, and the Lehigh Valley is great for agriculture. So you have people congregating in Center Square, which is now a circle. It was actually a square at one time. And they would bring their horse and buggies filled with flowers, produce, what have you, and trade. And that was continuing on since 1752 until now. And as Lisa mentioned, you know, the Lehigh Valley and the country as a whole has, you know, been home to indigenous folks who've been doing some sort of commerce, but that was really like the farmers market origin. And so the history is really important to Easton, you know, as a gathering place and as a continued place to support local food. So you've seen kind of this like surge of restaurants and like a surge of just interest in local food. PA Bacon Fest, for example, was, you know, it's kind of this elephant in the room now, but it was born out of the farmers market originally. So you have these things that are kind of like spin-offs of the farmers market over the years. And that's like in no small part to people in the community who care so much about the farmers market being a place that they didn't want to go away. And there was a time that was kind of concerning for the farmers market. It was down to one vendor. And that vendor was aging and really didn't think they had much time left at the farmer's market anyway. And she passed and folks got together and were like, this, this can't just go away.
Right.
When was that?
So, you know, yeah.
That one vendor, like, when did that happen?
That was in, I want to say around 2012.
Okay. Wow.
The market dwindled to this one vendor. Her name was Gloria Fox. And she brought produce and was the sole farmer, you know. And so when that happened, Friends of the Farmers Market was formed. Representative Bob Freeman, who I'm sure many folks probably know, was really important to bringing that group together. Super awesome. And yeah, I mean, that community passion to keep something like that alive really just showcases like how much the farmers market was an essential piece of Easton. And then, you know, being able to grow it as an example for Lehigh Valley more broadly and beyond, and keep that history and tradition going. And so, you know, as the market has grown, it's grown outside of the circle at this point. I think a lot of people who visited the market know that. COVID kind of kicked us out of the circle in a way. We needed to like give ourselves space to breathe. Mm-hmm. So Larry Holmes Drive, you know, was kind of the natural place to go. It was able to give vendors a more expanded space, so people could spread out. And yeah, so you have these like offshoots that I think have become examples from the Easton Farmers Market. As I mentioned, PA Bacon Fest, you either love it or you hate it. I won't say anything else about that, but
sure,
you have the Easton Public Market that was born out of the Farmers Market. And you also have a smaller Westward Market that's a community market. So you have these like tendrils of the food system that have been able to grow because of the Easton Farmers Market and its support of local food and farmers. So it's really exciting to see, and we hope that it continues to be an example. And, you know, we now have 15 farmers markets that operate on a weekly basis across the Lehigh Valley. So, you know, they're all doing something really important locally.
Yeah.
Would love to just continue to see that thrive.
Yeah, it's incredible the way that farmers markets are able to bring community together, people together, and specifically after 2020 and 2021, George, you had the COVID-19 pandemic, mm-hmm. and I think farmers markets were really the catalyst in many communities to really bring people back together who were missing community, who were missing, you know, that just overall human interaction. And,
sure.
you know, within the Nazareth community itself, and I know you were going to ask Lisa just about the growth of Nazareth as well. It was important in that community too.
Well, I mean, not to be, you know, outdone, obviously Easton going back to the 1700s is hard to beat, but can you talk about, you know, the Nazareth farmers market? You're at 25 some vendors. Talk about your history a little bit. How did you guys get to where you are?
So the market, right, we reestablished in 2010. So mm-hmm. they were kind of gathering, not gathering. Sometimes vendors would just show up at the circle. So someone decided we need to organize sure. this. So, and it makes sense because I know, and I bet Emily gets the calls to, oh, I want to come to the farmer's market. Do I just show up and set up where I want to be?
Totally. Oh, yeah.
When I first started with the farmers market, I thought of the Nazareth as kind of the off Broadway and the Easton market as the big show, right? It is a major undertaking that they have every week. They're tossing a giant festival. It's completely insane. So some of our vendors kind of come and get their feet wet and learn how to be vendors at the smaller markets. And sometimes they want to grow up and get to the busier market or the bigger show. And a lot of them just have found their community where they are in Nazareth and don't ever want to leave. Our farmer has been in the same exact location since 2010. Our main farm stand, and that is where they want to be. And they're not interested in anything else. And also things change. When I started, we were the candle market. I had so many candle vendors. I didn't know what to do with myself. I called it the candle market. We're going to the candle market. I'm like, it's not the candle market. But, and it changes, right? So coming out of COVID, people were making soap. Everybody was making soap. So then we kind of turned into the soap, all kind of soap vendors. Bakers are big now, so we have a lot of bakeries at the market. And we try to balance it because we only have space. We're about 20 to 25. We could probably max out at about 30. We cannot have mm-hmm. 10 bakers. So we're always trying to balance that. Every year it's a challenge to make sure that the farmers are coming back and that people are still farming, because we know that's a heavy lift to farm. Sure. So,
And Jeff, I think that kind of brings into the logistics part. So we were going to talk
absolutely.
About
absolutely.
Yeah. It's the undertaking of the, you know, just to go through some of these events, we take it for granted when we are visitors most of the time, because we're just like, oh, you know, this is how it's organized. But the amount of work that goes into this kind of stuff, Jeff. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's amazing how Lisa said in terms of what Emily and the Easton Farmers Market does, how it's like a festival every single week. And the logistics are just crazy. So I'm hoping, Emily, you can kind of take us behind the scenes a little bit here, because it's not just that, you know, a little booth that somebody puts out on a Saturday morning. That's not what farmers markets are. The logistics are quite frankly incredible. There's a process in terms of selecting those vendors. So can you take us behind the scenes when it comes to maybe some of those logistics, as well as organizing and even preparing every season for a successful farmers market?
For sure. Yeah, I wish it was as simple as just setting up a tent and like, oh, we're done. That's it. See you next week. There's nothing for me to do here.
Right.
Yeah, the logistics are probably like the biggest chunk of keeping a market successfully running. And I mean, as Lisa had mentioned, you know, you're before the market even starts for the season, you have to vet the vendors before they come. I mean, you're going to have your returning vendors year after year, unless they're in bad standing, but you always want that mix, that like kind of fine balance between meeting consumer demand, which is always changing. So like, I totally understand the bakeries and the soap. It's, you know, there's a need for it, but maybe not as great of a need for our farmers. So yeah. You want to make sure that you're always keeping those farmers, at least for us, you know, like in the center of attention. I mean, that's, you know, that's why we started. That's why we're here. But so we have, you know, each market does it differently. Not everybody operates with an advisory council like we do. We have, like all things, I feel like in Easton, it's a really long name for something, but it's our Easton Market District Advisory Council. So we just call it MDAC. We go from like 12 syllables down to two, and that's just how we refer to it. But that's a group of myself, my assistant market manager, and another staff member who works in the West Ward. And then we have like a group of a mix of vendors, community members, and some local city representatives. So it's a really nice group to kind of give all different viewpoints from the vendor perspective to the management perspective to the consumer perspective, and to just how things are working logistically from the city to choose vendors and go through the logistics of the season before it even starts. That's a huge chunk of time, and vetting vendors is no joke. We have tons of conversations that we're always like, yeah, we're gonna keep this meeting to an hour. Yeah, right. Like, no, it'll be like 9:30. Everybody's hungry. They're like, I got to put my kids to bed like 2 hours ago. Like, sure. You know, got to go. But, you know, everything from making sure that there's a healthy mix to city permitting in a lot of cases, you know, making sure that there's parking that's accessible to folks, which, you know, we have to negotiate parking contracts, road closures, and then mapping. Like, that is huge too. And as Lisa mentioned, again, like, you move a vendor a couple feet over. I know Joke dealt with this last week where I moved a vendor 4 feet and they were like, you moved me and people aren't going to know where I'm located. I was like,
oh man.
Wait, what? Okay. You know,
but I kind of get it too. You know, you're teaching the habit.
Yes.
I get it. But then, you know, so anyway, the market mapping is really important for the vendors, and you want to have a good mix, kind of spread out. You know, you don't want to put everybody who's selling soap, for example, all in the same location. They're going to feel like, what am I doing here? So making sure that everything's mapped out. And then, you know, every week we're always kind of thinking about like our special event days. So we have 12 special event days throughout the season. So it really is like festival planning. But we try and, you know, the market festival energy is a lot different than like your typical festival. So, you know, we want people to come and hang out and use food and especially local produce as like the central reason why they're there and hanging out in the first place.
Yeah.
So just like kind of always keeping like semi-tunnel vision on that goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a process.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a process. It's a fun process. It's kind of like market matchmaking. When it comes to like vendor decisions, you kind of be like, oh, you have similar personalities. I think you'll really vibe, like, you know, kombucha and tofu, you know.
That's what I think is interesting now. Like, you're talking about Friends, like how it was soap, and, you know, you always had those, but like what becomes more popular and whatnot. And that's going to be, you know, you're probably in the middle of the season going, this is going to be popular next year or whatnot, you know. So Lisa, when we were talking about communities and connection, and, you know, why do you think it's the farmers market post COVID? You know, we're still coming together. We're still exchanging ideas. These are still places that are getting more popular, you know? So talk about that community aspect.
So I think people are social. And there's not a whole lot of other opportunity to just go somewhere and socialize with all of your neighbors, right? So I think people come out to the market to see their neighbors and kids. We try to keep the kids engaged. It's the long game. We try to have activities for the kids. So we're turning them into customers 15 years later, but letting them know that the market is for them as well. So I think that, and the people right away take ownership of the market as well as the connections with people. I've heard lots of people say, oh, well, this is my market and I go see so-and-so to purchase this, as opposed to I need to purchase items A, B, and C. They're actually they actually have a relationship with their vendor.
Yeah.
And they say, I need to go see Dave or Joe. And I'm like, okay, this farm, that farm. And they're like, yes, I buy this from Dave. And I'm like, okay, that's fantastic. It's the relationship that I think truly matters.
And I think really quick, Lisa, I think it's the antithesis of this. You know,
well, I was going to say, it's the anti-data center. It's where people are coming together to talk nicely to each other and not yelling in a room about what, but right. Yes. It's also interesting. You're talking about kids. Like, wouldn't I rather see them have them learn purchasing from local farmers and whatnot? And,
yes.
Yeah. Like, why not?
And just understanding the process. And I do think people are caring more about where their food comes from. Mm-hmm. The food from the grocery store travels hundreds of miles. The food at the farmer's market maybe travels 25 miles max to get to where it's at. Economically, right? We're keeping our money in our community. It's shop local.
My gosh, it's the perfect segue, right, George?
Yes.
it's the perfect segue. For us, you know, concluding this amazing discussion that we have been having, and Emily, I'll talk to you about this as we're closing up here. The phrase "buy fresh, buy local," it's more than just I think a few words or a slogan. It's about supporting local farmers, local businesses, really growing our local economy at the end of the day. So can you talk about the overall economic impacts that our farmers markets have really had on our region?
Yeah. And I think it's like buy fresh, buy local is a great phrase to support our markets. And it's so much more than buying. As Lisa mentioned, I really think it comes down to relationships that we have with our farmers, with our neighbors, with the small business owners.
Yeah.
You know, and having the kids engaged is super important too. So like by buying fresh, by buying local, you're supporting all those other facets of supporting a community. So there's the economic piece where yes, like our farmers are, and our small businesses are definitely benefiting from our dollars in the community. And kind of a way that I like to think about it too, is that you mentioned data centers, I won't get into that, but our dollars are helping keep small farms alive and from being turned into something that we might not want in our communities. You know, it's like kind of our way of land preservation in like a roundabout way, but like specifically for food. Same with our small businesses. Like it's like supporting our small businesses in town is a way to keep those small businesses in the hands of small business owners, the same people that you see like walking their dog when they have a day off, which, you know, whenever that is. So it's about supporting the community with our dollars, but it's like beyond that, it's really just relationships that we have with the people that we care about and the places that we care about. You know, kind of a frou-frou way of saying all that, but I see it every Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, I truly do. And Lisa brings up the great point of like, you know, these people by their first names. Like that's how most people get to know them. It's not, oh, I know that vendor. It's, oh, I want to go talk to Steve. Okay. I know who Steve is. I get it. He's charming. Like go talk to him and he'll sell you anything. So, you know, there's a community piece to the farmer's market. And I do want to just touch on the food access piece that the farmer's market brings. You know, there's the economic, when we're talking about the economics of a farmer's market, it really does expand to include folks who have federal assistance. So, you know, SNAP dollars are able to be matched in a lot of cases, at least at the Easton farmer's market. Would love to see it just market wide across the entire Lehigh Valley and beyond. But folks can bring their SNAP dollars to the market, get those doubled, and then have additional fresh food bucks to go spend with farmers. So, you know, it's an added benefit for our low-income community members, but it's also a super asset for our farmers who are able to get supplemental dollars to keep their businesses sustained. So, you know, the food access piece is another really amazing part of the farmers market because it welcomes itself as a space for anybody and everybody to come gather. Maybe you just want to come listen to the music. Maybe you just want to come take pictures. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. You can do that. There are so few other opportunities, like Lisa mentioned, to just go and walk down Larry Holmes Drive without getting run over. So like come on a Saturday and you can do that with safety.
Sure. Yeah. Great.
And who knows, you might see Larry Holmes. Yeah. You may see Larry Holmes there as well. I have more than once. So Well, before we sign off though, we're going to have all this information in the show notes and everything, but can you reiterate when each of your farmers markets takes place? I'll start with Lisa, the Nazareth Farmers Market. And now we're talking, it's May 2026. What are you doing right now?
So May through October, every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And you're in the circle.
We're in the circle every week.
Nazareth Circle. And Emily, for the Easton Farmers Market.
Easton Farmers Market, also every Saturday, 9 to 1 p.m., May through December. And then we do go around.
Yeah, there's the winter farmers market as well, which is great. I mean, it's like,
yeah, we don't stop.
It's like, hey, we're just going to do this all the time.
But
it is.
I was just going to say, our winter market is January through, we're in a different location in the wintertime. So January through April, it's outside of the Easton Public Market. So it's the 300 block of Northampton Street downtown. So every Saturday, we got something going on.
Which is amazing. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, wow, when you hear about it, you think about the history and having, you know, the resources too, the people with SNAP who are able to get their food as well. It's amazing. Like we're lucky to have one farmer's market, let alone so many throughout the area, especially like in the community that you live in, where you're listening to this, there's probably one near you.
Yes.
So support them, because that's a big, you know, if you're supporting your local farmer's market, that's you not supporting your local data center, in my opinion. So keep at it. It's an easy way to fight that. I want to thank Emily and Lisa and Jeff, of course. And if you have anything else to say, Jeff, or
no, buddy, this was a great conversation. I'm glad we had to talk to two individuals who are in the heart of our farmers market communities here in the Lehigh Valley in Northampton County. So thank you, Emily, and thank you, Lisa. This was a great conversation, George.
Yeah, I'm going to see both of you guys this summer. Absolutely. We'll talk soon. Thank you.